Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate supernatural relationship. Our website is WeCanPrepare.org, and you can always get in touch with me at Diane@WeCanPrepare.org. We've been talking about the Lord's visits, about this is the Lord's visits is one particular example of supernatural experiences. And again, we mean by supernatural when we participate in what's going on in the supernatural realm knowingly. You're already involved in what he's doing in the supernatural realm, but we want to do so with an awareness, with a consciousness of it. Because in the spirit, remember, you're a spirit being and your actual home is in the spirit realm. You are already participating and fully involved and aware and exercising authority over the supernatural and natural realms. But we are here on this earth to learn how to experience ruling and reigning as a spirit that has a soul in submission to it. So we're not just looking to learn. We're learning to do. And we are so, especially, you know, and it comes and goes in phases, generation to generation throughout history. Some awareness has always been there of the supernatural realm, but we've, through different ages, there's been either an overemphasis or lack of interest in the supernatural realm. Again, the supernatural realm is there so that we can participate on this earth. The supernatural realm, we're not sure whether that's something that exists beyond this earth. We do know that the spirit does, but we are not sure about the soul, the mind, will, and the emotions in the supernatural realm. That's something, that's a good question to ask, and that'd be something fun to be asking him, asking God. Because these questions, what do? They draw us to him. He's the one who has the answers. We don't want to get caught up in the idea that somebody who's written a book or even is doing a teaching has all the answers. You want to get the answers for yourself. We've talked before about one thing we want to be cautious in is that realizing that we often gravitate towards beliefs that suit us. If you know, this is why it's so important that we understand what our temperament is, how God has put our soul together, our mind, will, and emotions. In other words, if you're strong in your mind, you are going to gravitate towards those things that most easily are understood, that make sense. And you may have a hard time accepting things unless you have an explanation for it. Likewise, if you are strong in your emotions, if God made you strong in your emotions, you may be gauging about whether something is from God, about whether it feels right, or whether it gives you a sense of peace, or a sense of whatever emotion connected to it. And if you're strong in your will, you're going to look for something that you can do, something productive, something that you can act on. We, in the course of these things, of learning about ourselves, that's how we learn about the supernatural realm and our relationship with God. It's an adventure. And this is part of our problem, is that we've so often relegated our relationship to God to religion. And so as we go about our day, he may try to interrupt and intervene in our lives, but we've got everything else under control. So we don't necessarily go there. He may be trying to get our attention, but because it's not time, it's not the time to be thinking of God. We've got other work to do. We've got our own thing to do. And we'll be talking more about God's interruptions, but we want to recognize that this is why we want to see our lives now as every moment as an opportunity to be learning to depend on God and let his life flow to and through us. So we've been talking about the Lord's visits through physical and natural manifestations. We talked last time about sight, about seeing things. We're also going to talk about hearing, what we hear, how God makes himself known to us through what we hear. In other words, what's perceivable to our ears. Many people have the phone ringing, and it often does not even sound like your phone. Now, I know so many people these days have the different ringtones and, carry their phones with them, and sometimes, we think, oh, that's just somebody outside, walking by and their phone is ringing. Take it for granted that that's not the case. Rather than discounting it, assume that it's God. If it's not, no big deal. But you know what? You've taken another moment to turn to him during the day, haven't you? But you know what? It might have been him. And we never want to lose an opportunity to be with him, to respond to him. It will get your attention. And remember, there's two things you can give him: your time and your attention. And he wants your attention throughout the day and the night. We'll get to that later. But we look for the little things. And when we are willing to be aware, when we're responsive and sensitive in the little things, then very often God doesn't have to use the big things to get our attention. It may sound like your phone but ringing, but when you pick it up, there'll be nobody there. Now, these days we've got the history thing, and I actually had a friend who picked up their phone and had a phone, an incoming call that had come in, and it was all zeros. And it was just God's way of saying, yep, it was me and you missed me. So we want to be aware of the ways God is training us. And he knows what situation you're in. He knows what's going to work best for you. But remember that all five of your senses, we're just talking about the natural realm now, sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. He wants you to be aware and able to perceive and respond in each one of those senses. He chooses how he wants to, how he does that, and the order and the emphasis, but none of those are out of bounds. Eventually, they're all going to be equally responsive and aware of what God is doing. So phone ringing is just one common way. Another very common way is knocking. And there have been times I work upstairs in my house, and there'll be times when I'll hear a knocking on the upstairs wall. And it won't be, you know, like something hitting it. It will be a knocking. And that's, you know, pretty clear to me what's going on. But God will develop those things that will mean the most to you. Doorbell ringing. But when you answer the door, no one is there. Again, what do? You ask the Lord, Lord, is this you? Or is this something else? Don't assume you know it's him. It could be the enemy too. So you ask. When it comes right down to it, that's what we're learning. He's trying to get our attention. We give it, and then we confirm that it's him. Another is footsteps. But no one is there. An annoying sound that I used to hear a lot was my garage door opening. And this would happen in the middle of the night. And it was definitely an attention getter. And I would be sometimes sound asleep, and I'd hear my garage door open. And I'd go down, and it was shut. And I'd, okay, you know, Lord, is that you? Sometimes even a car door slamming. And there may be times when you hear the audible voice calling you by name or singing or even humming or whistling. All of these are pretty typical sounds that we probably hear throughout the day. Now, another one that's starting to happen around here a lot is conversations in other rooms. And you go to that room and there's nobody there. So we just want to be aware of God is free to get our attention in whatever way he chooses. All of these are pretty typical sounds that we probably hear throughout the day. But as the Lord sharpens our physical senses, we will be able to distinguish those that are made by him to get our attention from those that occur circumstantially. Next, we have taste. And this seems kind of unusual as a way of God trying to get our attention. But he uses all our senses. And he doesn't really value one over another. They're all part of your body. But his goal is to make himself perceivable to us, to get our attention. you may taste something unusual. It can be sweet or bitter, metallic, sour, or even sudden thirst. Or even you may even start thinking about something that makes you hungry or not, the opposite. Again, these are ways the Lord is trying to get our attention. These sensations may or may not be related to what the Lord wants to say to us. I have, on a couple of occasions, had a metallic taste in my mouth. When followed up with the Lord, I discovered that He wanted me to speed up something I was doing. I've also had a bitter taste, which ended up in intercession. So there's no correlation. I'm not going to say, okay, when I have the bitter taste, that means intercession. Or when I have a metallic taste, it means speed up. The whole point is you go, okay, Lord, is this from you? I'm tasting something funny in my mouth. Is this from you? Or all of a sudden have, I had a friend who all of a sudden, when God would draw her, she'd get a hunger for pizza. And she didn't particularly like pizza, but she'd get a hunger for it. And that was just God's way of knocking in her taste. And so she would go, okay. It wasn't, she was able to distinguish our normal assumptions that, oh, if you're thinking about and hungry for pizza, you should get a pizza. So that's all. We just want to be turning to Him and asking Him questions about these things. So then, touch. Here are some examples of the Lord making Himself perceivable to our physical body. We may feel the touch of a hand from the Lord or an angel. Or again, you know, from something else that's, we again want to just be able to identify. We may feel a breeze or a wind where there's no source, where you can't figure out where it's coming from. In other words, it can get your attention. That was a cold chill. That was a breeze. Or that was a hot air. Or just something unusual. On your face, on your feet, on your hands. Or even an abrupt change in temperature or even humidity. Ooh, it got hot in here. All these are to draw our attention to the Lord, that He wants to speak to us in one way, shape, or form. Sometimes we have to ask Him, Lord, am I missing something? Am I supposed to be doing something? And then we wait for Him to respond to that. This goes back to why it's so important to be able to hear His voice and to know how to be quiet with Him and wait on Him. I've many times felt someone brush up against me when I'm working, and often when I'm driving, which can be, at first, very startling. You know, having the sense that someone's all of a sudden in your car while you're driving, and you are maybe thinking about something totally different, and you just have to quickly adjust and be focusing on both driving and paying attention to what's going on in your car and asking God what's going on. But these are things we are to learn how to do and develop skill and comfort. Finally, smell. Here are some examples of the Lord making Himself perceivable by scent, by what we can smell. Roses, or musty, moldy, or sandalwood, or something indescribable. Smell of some of food, something that you enjoy or something you can't stand. So there's good and bad smells. Again, since the purpose of the scent is to get our attention, it is not necessary to identify the odor in order to learn its meaning. We simply ask the Lord. In other words, if you smell something, don't be distracted by identifying the smell. Don't be distracted by thinking that's what you're supposed to be identifying. And then, okay, if it's roses, it must be the presence of the Lord. If it smells like something crawled in here and died, it must be I'm under an attack from the enemy. No, none of those is necessarily true. You have to ask the Lord. Roses one time may mean, yes, the Lord wants to speak with you. Another time it may mean, may be an attack from the enemy. We don't want to rely on our own interpretation. We are learning to depend on God Himself. That's the goal. That's what we're learning. Now, we will learn, and there'll be times and seasons when God, in order to bring us to the next thing, develops a habit or a pattern with us. And we go with that. There'll be times when there'll be a season where He may wake you up in a certain way, the same time, every time, for quite some time. That's great, and that's wonderful, and that means we want to go beyond that. But we still don't assume that it's from Him, because it's not. He's not bound by that, and we don't want to make Him be bound by that, by, okay, God, if you want to talk to me, this is the only way you can do it. He may have moved on by that, from that, from waking you up by a door supposedly sounding like the sound of a door slamming in your room. And He may have moved on to that to something totally different. And the enemy may have taken that up. Or because it doesn't happen, you may conclude that God's not visiting you anymore, when that's not true at all. It's just He's moved on to a different way of getting your attention. Or He's now expecting you to have been setting your alarm clock and getting up on your own at the same time. So we want to ask. This is goes back to, again, who is God? Is our relationship with Him mechanical? Do we take Him for granted? Do we want to know about Him so we can predict His way of making Himself known to us? So we can have a measure of control. So we can decide if we want to respond or not. In so many ways, learning to respond is like boot camp. Learning to be aware that He can come and make Himself known to us at any time, in any way, is like boot camp. We're being disconnected from the things we've always relied on. Those perceptions that have given us a sense of control. He's breaking those and rebuilding new habits, new skills, new approaches, new relationships. So if we resist one or the other, we're not getting what we need to be able to go on and develop the skills and work on the projects that we need to in order to rule and reign here on this earth. So most of us haven't even gotten through the first week of boot camp. And that's even including a lot of people in full-time ministry. So they've relegated a time with God to a certain time. And I'm this kind of a person, so this is the way God's going to relate to me. And it can be anything from, well, I'm closest to God when I worship him. Okay, now, have you asked him about that? Or I'm closest to God when I'm reading the Bible, or when I'm at church, or when I'm talking about him to someone else. Those are times when I sense his presence. Well, maybe God wants to stretch that a little bit. We don't want to put him in a box. He won't stay there. But we don't want to be fighting him. For a while, there was a pattern in my life in the way God communicated to me in the natural realm. There would be times when I would hear sirens or flashing lights to alert me to an attack of the enemy, or that I'm vulnerable somewhere. And more subtle interruptions were to draw my attention to a specific area of teaching or instruction. Now, that doesn't happen as much, but other things do. And in many ways, he just draws my attention to the teaching or the area he wants to talk to me about, rather than going through that middle step. But it was quite some time in learning some of these things to get there. And I certainly don't discount him doing them again. We want to be flexible and light on our feet, so that however he chooses to draw us at any given time, we will be responsive and give him the attention that he's asking for. As you begin to increase your awareness of God through your physical senses and your supernatural senses as well, which we'll be getting into next, you'll notice some changes in your life. And this is one of those areas where you're going to have to make some decisions about, is this really something you want to pursue? Is knowing God the way he wants you to know him something you're willing to do, you're going to commit to? Because God wants to be wanted. When you show him, when you act on your desire to know him, it's like God says he's knocking on your door. If you open, he will come in and sup with you, and you with him. By responding to all these different ways of knocking. Knocking is not just knocking. It's a smell, it's a sound, it's a taste, it's a touch. It's a voice. When you start opening the door and letting him come in, he's going to start coming over a lot more often. So realize that you're likely to be questioned, if not downright criticized, by friends and strangers alike. And you may even be tempted to criticize yourself as you pursue becoming familiar with these manifestations, because it's going to be weird at first. So settle it now that natural manifestations are real, are helpful, and they encourage you, all of us, into greater dependence on the Lord. And to not take advantage of them is to shortchange yourself of the wonderful relationship God has waiting for you. These are for your benefit. take full advantage of the natural manifestations He has for you. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. We'll be getting back together again Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Have a great day.